Well, I hope it's been a good day for you. Had a beautiful day. I hope it was a restful afternoon for you. And it's good to be able to come together again, blend our voices and our thoughts and our purpose in serving and worshiping God. It's good to be with you again. Recognize we have quite a few out. Some are sick. Some can't drive after dark. And some are some other place. But we're glad you're here, and it's good to be able to study God's Word with you for just a little while. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter is the passage we want to look at. And it's always been the Bible obviously divides itself on both sides of the issue of the gospel. And there are instructions and responsibilities that should be recognized as we attempt to study God's Word and make it plainer in our own thinking. First Timothy 5 and verse 22, the statement is, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." If you back up to verse 21, Paul says, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality." There's a whole lot of things there that again, Paul is trying to get across to the young preacher. And a lot of expectations made of him. And Paul is trying to encourage him and yet at the same time put forth things that will head him in the right direction. And I'm just impressed with the idea that not only does he make a statement about do not lay hands suddenly or quickly on somebody, but it's just those last three words when he says, keep thyself pure. You watch yourself. And just reading that, I'm reminded again of the idea that we are responsible before God. Every person is responsible to God. Those outside the body of Christ, they are responsible to God and will answer to God. And you and I who are members of the body of Christ, we're responsible to God and we will answer in the day of judgment. And these personal responsibilities are hinted at and said quite plainly when we read things like, keep yourself pure. Well, the other side of it would be like in Acts, the 18th chapter, you remember when Paul is in Corinth, Acts, the 18th chapter, that would be a good one, I think, because he was so plain and straightforward and blunt in what he was saying. Acts 18 and, let's see, like verse 5. Acts 18 and verse 5, "When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ." Verse 6, "But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" And of course, that's what he did. You see there in verse 7, "And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, who worshiped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized." But the other side of the coin that I'm talking about is what you see Paul saying to the Jewish people when they heard Paul talking about Jesus being the Messiah. And they blasphemed. And Paul just simply said, "Your blood be upon your own heads." I recognize that's figurative language, but you know what that means. You're responsible for your actions, and you will answer to God. I'm clear of this. I've attempted to give you the Lord's will, the gospel of Christ, and you have thought it was a joke or worse, and your blood be upon your own head. And that's the way it'll be. And it's like in Philippians 2, we're talking about this morning, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's exactly the way it's going to be. Same way on the side of being a member of the Lord's church. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all how? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in the light as He is in the light. So many passages. And so we have these reminders. To me, it's fascinating that the apostles would write to a young preacher who's been left in a tough place. If you recall over in First Timothy, the first chapter, he left Timothy in Ephesus, didn't he? It's not an easy place to work. It's not an easy place to be at that time, especially. But he says, Timothy, keep yourself pure. We all have a responsibility for ourselves before God. And I guess he sums that up in 2 Corinthians 5 when he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. We're all going to be there. So as children of God, as Christians, we have to keep this thought in mind just when he says, keep yourself pure. I'm just of that idea that keep yourself. And that's really kind of what I talked about or titled it. Be aware of what's going on around you, what you're thinking, what's happening. The rest of the world is in its own place. But as for you and I, as children of God, we've got to keep certain things. And so I wanted to suggest to you just some things today coming to my mind that would help us tonight as members of the body of Christ. Keep your heart diligently. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 again. What does he say there? How does he say it? You might be able to quote it. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it the issues of life. For out of it spring the issues of life. What is your life going to be like? To a very large degree, it's going to be what your attitude is, what your thinking is about. It is. And he's not just talking about the pump in our chest. He's talking about the heart of the spiritual person. And he's talking here to people who would follow him. If you're reading there in Proverbs 4 with me in verse 20, Solomon is writing. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Be careful of what you're thinking, because so much of your life depends on your frame of mind, disposition, and how you think, being negative or pessimistic or many other things, affects our very life. And our spiritual heart, which is, I'd suggest to you, what we're really getting at there, our spiritual heart is that which throughout the whole Bible we read about, that is that which thinks and trusts and loves and believes and obeys. It's the description of the entire person, the inner part of our life. On over in Proverbs 23, let me just read you this verse. Proverbs 23:17. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all of your days. Keeping our heart with all diligence will go a tremendous direction of helping us be faithful all the days of our life. It will keep us from bold rebellions against God, like Matthew 5 and verse 28 there in the Sermon on the Mount. But I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's why it's so important that we check our thoughts and our reasonings and our purposes, that the act already exists and the crime exists. Look over in 1 John, the third chapter. Instead of talking there about adultery, he makes the statement, 1 John 3 and verse 15. He says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And this keeping our heart diligently will keep us from these ideas of disposition, harsh criticisms that you read about in Matthew 7, conceit or selfishness or doubt.
Keep your head up. Keep your heart clear. Do not allow doubt to come into your heart or mind. You remember when Peter asked Jesus if he could walk on the water, and Jesus invited him out. The 14th chapter of Matthew, and he begins to sink when he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" It happens. And it can happen quickly in our thinking. And some thoughts can be in our mind for a long time before it begins to manifest itself in our daily activities. Keep your heart, you keep your heart. And we're responsible for that. I mean, just like add unto your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. I can't do that for you, and you can't do that for me. That we're to add these things and we're to develop the fruit of the Spirit, just so we are to keep ourselves pure. We are to keep our heart. And we got to do that on our own. Because you can't do it for me and I can't do it for you. And it's so very important. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 26, he said, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And so, as simple as that may be, having the proper, we'd many times say, having the proper attitude is so very, very important. Let me suggest to you, secondly, keep yourself in the love of God. Look with me all the way back into the book of Jude. Jude, the 21st verse. Jude is writing, and he's telling them to, he's closing up the letter, making a few comments. He says in verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit," verse 21, "keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourself where? You and me keep ourselves in the love of God. We're talking about the very disposition, the attitude of God. That God loved the sinners. This is what John 3:16 was talking about. Brother Kenny read the passage this morning before the Lord's Supper. Romans 5 and verse 8. That God commended his love toward us in such a large degree that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of Christ. God's love provided for us the very motivation for salvation. And that it's a further description of our relationship to one another. John 14:15. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. There's this attitude that moves us forward. I would suggest to you, as it has been said before, the most powerful words in the New Testament are faith and hope and love. Those three move us and do things for us. And you and I, maybe the world doesn't concern itself with the love of Jesus or the hope of the gospel, but they will answer for many other things. You and I are to keep ourselves in the love of God. This is the sphere in which we operate. Man keeps himself in the love of God by keeping himself in what God has revealed and taught. If we can understand, "If you love me, keep my commandments." 1 John 5 and verse 21, he says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." That's showing the love that we have for God and his will. And when we talk about, we mentioned in classes more, Romans 12, first couple of verses there. You know, when he says, "Do not be conformed to this world." How do you do that? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, your heart, making sure these things are of God. You remember on one occasion, Jesus had many of his disciples turn from him and just decide to walk away. And John 6 and verse 66, and just an amazing verse. It says, from that time, many of his disciples, not just people that might be interested in watching him do a miracle or something, but many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? In verse 68, but Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. So when we talk about keep yourself, recognizing the responsibility to keep ourselves pure, we're to keep ourselves also by keeping our heart diligently. Watch our attitudes. Keep ourselves in the love of God. That's so very important. Let me suggest to you another one, one that you, I think, really would understand. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. And many of these things, keeping yourself pure and keeping your heart diligent, it would be really almost different ways of saying the same thing. But in James, the first chapter, he talks about some who are to be unspotted from the world and some who are not. In James 1, verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And there he's only deceived himself, hasn't he? He deceives his own heart. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And he is setting it forth that some people's religions are vain and useless, but if we're going to be people that are acceptable to God, it's going to be someone who puts their convictions to God into practice and relates to the people around them. Over in the fourth chapter of James, James the fourth chapter, verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And if we're not careful with that attitude, we can make ourselves a stumbling block to some other child of God, which is what Romans 14 is talking about. Not pushing an issue to the point which you would cause someone else to fall from their own service of God. Over in Galatians again, let's read that passage. Galatians, the fifth chapter, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He is suggesting and just talking as you come down through, beginning in verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery and fornication and uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. It's amazing this list he's got. And then he says, envy and murders and drunkenness and revelries and the like, of which I've told you before, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking to brethren there. He's having to tell brethren, if brethren practice certain things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. We not only would become probably a stumbling block to others, but those who have become stained with the world's sins become an enemy of the Lord. And so he goes on to say, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is different. It's love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness and goodness. And against such there is no law whatsoever. Abstain from fleshly lusts. I was thinking about that this morning in class as we were discussing that. In 1 Peter, if you look with me over there in the second chapter, this is where Peter is trying to get the brethren to stop and think about not just the wonderful idea of having heard the gospel and that we are built upon a living foundation, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but getting right down to living everyday life. He says in verse 11, he said, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He says, I'm begging you. An apostle would say that. And Paul did the same thing in Romans, the 12th chapter. I beseech you, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice. They are pleading with people to maintain this separation in their lives between the world and between the Christian and between the church. And that comes first from understanding our position, the things that we are to be involved in. Keep unspotted from the world. That if we recognize that we're guilty of sin, let's put it from us. that if we walk with the Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess those sins. Let me suggest to you, last of all, there's the last one, that keep out of, I was thinking about this another day, keep out of other people's business. That has been a problem for brethren for many years. In 1 Peter, and we were looking at this morning, I was thinking about it, look over in the 4th chapter, and he's talking about how if they suffer reproaches and things of that nature. In verse 14, 1 Peter 4 and verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God and a Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you, and on their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he's glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other men, other people's matters. And it just as I read that, I just thought, how does that even fit together? I understand murders and thieves and evildoers, rapists, bank robbers, and people like that. And you're just going to throw one in there and say, well, yeah, and you got this other guy, he's always butting into other people's business. But Peter puts it in there. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. And that's the word, some translate it, meddling in other people's business. When we think about our lives, we've got so many things going in our lives. We have enough to keep us busy all the time. And yeah, we might be concerned for others and try to help, but there comes a point when we begin to step over the line. And for some reason, it's amazing to me the apostle would have to particularly point out this with murderers and thieves and people who are evildoers. And then he says busybodies or somebody who meddles in things. Look with me back in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. We studied this a month or so ago. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, in verse 11, Paul says that you also aspire. So we go from where Peter was writing to up in the northern part of Cappadocia and Bithynia and places up there to the city of Thessalonica, which is quite some distance away. But Paul would have to write about the same thing. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, he says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. We're to not only stay to our own business, be responsible for our things, because we can handle just about only our things almost, but there's always that other person's business that we have to be concerned about, and that is God's business. There is the point to be made about that. Remember over in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, he said the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's our duty. We're not to be attempting to change things around or think different things about God's word. In Psalms 119, the writer in verse 145 says, I cried out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. And that's the proper attitude. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We stay out of God's business. It's God's business to inspire his word. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable for things that would make us complete in his sight. We don't need to be dealing on that end of the stick. We need to be taking what God has revealed to us. And I guess if we were talking about the way we conduct our business on a daily business or a daily basis, or how we relate to God, we still need to be respectful of who we are, where we're supposed to be. Jesus on one occasion said in Matthew 16, he said, what would a man gain if he gained the whole world and lost his what? His soul. Yes. We need to stop and think about, yeah, our business is very demanding and the problems are demanding of us. And we can help one another from time to time. But there's also been a lot of trouble in congregations in years gone by with people butting into other people's business and not paying attention to what they need to be doing. There's so many things that we can think about when we talk about keeping yourself. But I was impressed with that idea, especially when Paul said back in Acts 18, chapter, he said, your blood be upon your own head. We are responsible for ourselves before God. We will answer to the Lord. We will stand before His judgment throne, and we will receive the things, whether they be good or bad. And we must strive then to be concerned just about keeping our own business. And sometimes we don't, but maybe we should. I hope the study's been helpful for you. There are some other things we could point out, but I think that's enough to make the issue. Keeping ourselves. Keep yourself pure. That's a responsibility all of us have as children of God. God deals with us as mature, responsible adults, and that's how we will be judged. Hope the study's been helpful for you. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. Or maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you haven't lived as you should. Maybe you need to make things right. We'd be more than happy to go to God's throne on your behalf. Or maybe you just need to make some changes in your life and redirect your thoughts in a certain way to be more profitable, that you could grow in the Spirit and the very things that God would have us to develop in our life. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?